It's tonight's. You'll get this morning's message in 3 weeks. Next week, yeah, because next week's Palm Sunday, I have something different for that. And the following week's Easter, I have something different for that. So what I was going to preach today, which I was going to preach last Sunday morning, I'll be preaching in 3 weeks ahead. So keep those notes, Eileen. You already got them down. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. I'm kind of winding down on this, what I've been going through on Sunday night. Do a little study, kind of getting down to the end of that. And I got something else to think like God's laying on me for the rest. I got to kind of read the whole chapter. I looked at it and I thought about skipping something, but God didn't skip it. And it had some things that I think were just good for us to see it, so I won't skip anything. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight. For every basin, likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. The title of the message tonight is Taking Stock of Your Life. Taking Stock of Your Life. We've been going through on Sunday nights for, man, I don't know how long now, several months, just looking at David's life from the time that when he was a boy, when he was had been chosen to be king. I mean, his deal with Goliath and all the years of running from Saul before he was king, 10 years on the run, taking the kingdom, rebellion by his son Absalom, left Jerusalem for a while, all the things that he went through, the deal with Bathsheba, falling into sin, everything that's happened to him, it's kind of coming to an end of his life now, and he's looking back. He's looking back over his life and where he had come from and to where he was. And, you know, I thought about that. That's not a bad thing to do once in a while as a person, as a saved person. You know, sometimes I think Janiya said it today when she was giving her testimony about what she had with living with her grandparents, you know, that you just take things for granted sometimes. And I think as children of God sometimes that we take what we have for granted, you know, the blessings of God. And sometimes we don't even, we sing that song, Count Your Blessings. And, you know, we don't take stock of that sometimes, just the simple things of life that we have. You know, boy, I mean, it's nice to have a roof over your head, and the heat works most of the time. And, you know, we got food on the table and health. You know, you don't want to take your health for granted. All the things that we have, and if our health's not good, we're still breathing, right? We got a pulse. We're here today, and so we thank God for that. You know, we should do that. And I always think it's good to look back to where you've been in your life, and where would you be if you hadn't have gotten saved, you know, when you did? Where would you be in life if you hadn't have gotten saved? And we probably wouldn't be here, right? We wouldn't be in church tonight if we weren't, you know, trusting the Lord. For most of us, that wouldn't be a reality as well. No telling what we'd be into tonight. You know, we look backwards, and, you know, when we look back at our life, we ought to ask ourselves, you know, how much of what we have accomplished is permanent, is necessary, or has been necessary, or has been effective as far as things for God, even if we just look back over our saved life. I got saved in 1987, man. I mean, you know, the years have gone by. I remember when I was new and I'd see these old Christians been saved for years, and, you know, I said, well, one day maybe I'll be like them, you know. And man, here it is, you know, all these years later, you know, being saved. And so, you know, how much of those things, you know, we look ahead. David kind of looked ahead, and you know, he thought about this when David realized, when he got down to the end of his life, and I think David knew this a lot of times along the way in his life, there's only really one thing that we really have to face, and that's going to be our accountability before God. I mean, a whole lot of other, you know, other things aren't going to matter. It's not going to matter how much money we made. It's not going to matter what position we came to in life. It's not going to matter how many toys we've accumulated over the years. You know, what's going to matter the most is our accountability before God. You know, where do we stand in our relationship with God? That's really what it's going to boil down to when we get to the end of our life. And that day's going to come. One day, you know, we're going to stand before God, all of us, one way or the other. Lord's coming back, we're going to stand. If we die, we're going to stand. No guarantee that we're going to live to be old. You know, you can go in the obituaries every day of the week if you want to and look at people that pass away and start looking at their ages. And I mean, it's everything from babies all the way up to very old people and everything in between. And so we think about that. And I think David realized that, looked at that. And one day, you know, one day that's going to be the last thing. You know, one day I'll preach my last message that I'll ever preach. It'll be the last one. I don't know what one it'll be. Could be this one. If it doesn't work out any better than it's going now, probably will be. One day I'll preach my last message. You know, one day we had testimonies this morning. One day you'll give your last testimony. It'll be the last thing that you'll be able to say for God. If you say anything for God, it'll be the last one. One day it'll be the last piece of service that you ever do for God. It'll be the last thing that you can do in this lifetime. It might be the last Sunday school class taught. It might be the last special song that you sing, the last song that you sing in the choir. And you can ask yourself this question right here. Has my life been worthwhile? What makes our life worthwhile to start with? Has it brought anybody that we've been around nearer to heaven? Has our life made the Lord Jesus more real into somebody else's life? I think that's an important thing. Hardly anybody talks about the Lord out. When you get out in public, we talk about everything else. What we saw on TV, what we had for dinner. You know what old people talk about when they get around each other? You find this out when you get older. Huh?
The weather.
No, it ain't the weather. Well, it could be the weather because the weather is affecting something else. My knee, man, I'm telling you what, and I got my back operated over here, and boy, I had this tooth pulled out, and then they worked on my eye, and then, man, I had the virus, and, we get around. You ought to hear us all. I was always laughing about it. I remember the adults talking. I was a kid, and you'd listen to all the adults talking about that. Now I'm one of them. Huh? Me and Harold Vaughn, standing there. Yeah, brother, man, I'll tell you what, boy, this, we've done. here we are going out to the car. Hey, we're going out of the car. He goes, I'm going to call you up. We're going to go fishing. I said, all right, I'll help you get in the boat. You help me get in the boat, right? We're going. there we are, man. That's what happens. I was talking to a couple of people the other day about the Lord, man. I tell you what, you just get fired up, you get excited. Man, when do you feel close to God, man? You feel like God's working. And you feel like you're worth something. Huh? You feel like you're worth something. And has what we've done in life, have we made the Lord more real to somebody else? And if you talk to somebody about the Lord and they're not used to somebody talking about the Lord, but they got a little interest in it, it's like, wow, man. It's like shocked. They like it. You're shocked, but it's so unusual. Is somebody talking about Jesus like he's real? I talked to some ladies one time, and this is what the lady told me. This lady went to church in Buckhannon here somewhere. This was years ago when the kids were small at a ball game for Kyle or Danielle. And this lady says, you make it sound so real. I said, because it is real. He is real. He's real. You're a church member wanting to know about, boy, you make it all sound real. It's real. Jesus is real. Anyway. But when we look back, what's gold, what's silver, what's precious stones? Is any of it? Or is it all wood, hay, stubble? What is it? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. We watched Wednesday. I thought, our Wednesday prayer meeting. We get in a rut doing anything. And so we some of us meet for prayer. We did Wednesday. And I thought, well, I already had it. I looked up a Leonard Ravenhill video. I got one I was going to show you this morning, but we'll get to it eventually. Eileen's got it in the queue. But we watched one the other day, and he said this one thing. I had kind of previewed it before we came, so I knew he was going to say it, and it was the most profound thing. And I had already had this message together, and this went right along with it. But he said this. He said, all right, if you take a day and you break it down into eight-hour segments, he goes, you work 8 hours, you sleep 8 hours, what do you do with the other 8 hours? If you add that into years, and this is the profound part, if you transfer that into years and you go 60 years, 20 hours of work, or 20 years of work, hours, 20 years of work, 20 years of sleeping, what'd you do with the other 20 years? Now that's a profound thought. Amen. Slept 20 years. I don't feel like I slept 20 years. Slept part of it today. But what have you done with the other 20 years? And when we think about, when we look at David here, we're looking where he is and in his life, and we're looking at his life, we've been looking at it. And the fact that we've done that and we're still here, it gives us the advantage to make adjustments. And I'll probably say something about this later, but we're talking about building a life or building a church as the building part where the stones, right? You know, when you have building plan, you get these plans and you're going to build, and what usually happens, invariably what happens, there's changes that come up. They got to tweak the plans just a little bit. Got to make an adjustment because it's not going to, you know what, that's what we have to do in our life. And so the fact that we're still living right now, we can make adjustments. We can make some adjustments to our lives today. So there's a lot of factors that in David's life that make him what he was. And of course, he set an example for us. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Just a few things tonight. I didn't really get it alliterated, but just some points so to help me go along the way. Number one, the blessing of desire. The blessing of desire. We see in our, and we started out reading in the text there, and David went on and he said, he stood up on his feet and he said in verse 2, he said, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. So he wanted to build the temple, is what he wanted to build. But he said, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name. David had this desire, but God said no. So, you know, sometimes we struggle right here. You know, you think if you thought of anything to do for God, that it would be okay for God, with God. You know, I want to do something for God. And that why wouldn't God want me to do that? Well, God doesn't always tell us why, but sometimes he does say no. And so sometimes, you know, you kind of stop right there. You think, well, man, if I just want to do anything for God, it ought to be okay. Not according to that verse. Huh? It wasn't okay for David. God said to him, he said, no, you're not going to build the temple. He said, because you've been a man of war, you shed blood. And he had to. I mean, that was in his place. But and you know, it wasn't wrong. But it's what David had to do. But God says no. So here we see this desire that he's got. And God says no. And we learn that God doesn't always say yes to our desire. But at the same time, you know how when we have a will in a matter, and particularly in the service of God, and God says no, that can be a disappointing thing, you know. You can just be like, you know, the door, and we may not have an audible no. It may just be so many doors shut, and we can't get it off the ground. We can't do what we want to do. And it can affect us in, a negative way. Let me say it that way, a negative way. But we'll see when we look at David's life, we see the second thing that comes up, and we see I kind of threw this point in there, but his dedication to God's will, the second thing. There was the blessing of desire. And listen, I mean by that, listen, it's a blessing to have a desire to do for God. I mean, that's the direction you want to go in. Listen, you know, there's a lot of things that we might want to do for God, but God just didn't gift us that way. Or maybe even if God did gift us that way, maybe it's just a reason that God doesn't want us to do it particular. It could be a multitude of things. But we still see that David was dedicated to God's will. That's the matter. You know, that's the key thing. Not his will. See, because if we have a desire, guess what? It may not be God's desire. Not that what you want to do. We're having an issue. I don't know why. What the problem is here tonight. Not that what you want to do is a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing, doing for God. But see, it could be your will, and it always should be God's will. See, we can even get selfish. We can get in the flesh or be dealing with self in the realm of what we want to do for God. See, that is, you know, well, that's what I want. I want to do that for God. But the question is, does God want you to do it for him? You know, that's the key. Because the desire doesn't always come from God. So we see the dedication to God's will. And so what David could have done, you know, the natural reactions when God, when somebody tells us no with anything that has to do with our will, I mean, the human nature, the very first thing is we could get mad about it, right? Get your feelings hurt, get your feelings hurt, which is pride, is flesh, anger, is flesh, you know, we're fighting the flesh. We get an attitude about it, and then a lot of times what people do, well, fine, if I can't do that, I'm just not going to do nothing. I'm going to resign from whatever it is, you know, and give up. But David didn't do that. David didn't, you know what? He said, okay, God, I got it. Listen, man, David's looking back, right? What did he tell us? He said, you know what? Out of all the people, God chose the tribe of Judah to draw the king. And out of the tribe of Judah, he chose my family. And out of my family, all my brothers, he chose me to be the king. Huh? I mean, you know, and I got a bunch of kids. He's got a big family, man. God's blessed him, gave him victory in war. I mean, listen, okay, so, you know, you can sit there and focus on what you can't do or look at what God's already done with you, what he's done for you, you know. I mean, so he said, listen, you know what? All right, I can't build the temple, but I tell you what, and God's going to let me do it because this is what he did. He's, you know what? He said, I'm going to get all the material. I got the material together, all the gold, and the reason I read all that stuff about all the gold, and that'll come into play in a minute too, but we see the material part, the gold, the silver, the stones, man. He got the workmen. He got everything ready. Man, Solomon had a gravy job. When Solomon got ready to build the temple, everything was ready to go, even the instructions on how to do it, huh? And the workmen, everything. I'd like to oversee that job. Tell me how it's going, brother. I'm propped up with my feet, huh? Getting my 20 years of sleep in, you know, right there. I mean, he did it. So not only that, remember we just read a couple weeks ago when he was at the threshing floor. It was Ornan's threshing floor. And Ornan said, I'll give you the thing. David said, I'll buy it. That was the site of the temple. He bought the land that the temple was going to go on. He said, I'll do that. I mean, he did more than Solomon ever did. I'll buy the land. I'll pay for it with my own money. I got the site ready. I got all the material ready. I mean, there's basically nothing to do. He had the workmen, the skilled workmen. Everything was there. Metal, wood, stone. William Carey's motto was, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. I mean, man, David said, listen, I can't build it. I can do everything else. I can do all I can do. See, and a lot of people just get mad and give up instead of saying, hey, I'm going to do everything I can do, whatever it is. I'll do whatever I can do. Huh? You know what? That's what it is. I went down there, man. I mean, I'm not bragging about me. I just like to help out with Harold. Now, I go down there. I tell him. I mean, I wasn't a special speaker. Hard to believe. I know that. But I wasn't a special singer. It's not hard to believe that. I did sing to the ladies in the coffee shop, though. They were they liked my voice. They said, can you sing? So I sang to them. Still had to pay for my coffee, but anyway. But you know what? I went down there and I brought books in and I brought the tables in and we set up the signage and me and Joel Wegner, another pastor, we got in the truck and Harold's son and another guy, we all got in the truck and we rode down that long road and put the signs out and high tech job. I mean, driving that thing in the ground and you got to stick the sign up that said prayer advance for the ladies to see when they came. We did those things because it's all God's work, right? Amen. You know, I like doing it. I said, I'll be back. I told him, I'll come back and help you when you got to take it down. You know, we'll go down there and take it down, man. I mean, it's just a blessing, man. Fellowship. I got more out of it than I put into it. Fellowship with the other guys, Dave Young, Joel, Harold. We all sat around a big old table while the ladies was in there because Denise Cunningham doesn't want any men in the meeting. So we all sat around there and had our coffees and told men jokes. We had a good time. It was a blessing. So, I mean, so here we see that David, he would do, you know, whatever he could do. And you know, it's a picture, really. It's a picture. Building the temple is a picture of building the church in the New Testament. And the Bible talks about it. I didn't go into all the details, and I'm not going to exhaust this on preaching tonight. But it talks about us, the living stones, lively stones, the word it used in the King James. Lively stones, living stones that were the stones of the building of the church. And it's all that. But, you know, it has to be done in God's will, not our will. And the hardest thing for a believer to give up is an ambition. Huh? You know, God changes our plans in life. Huh? They got to change our plans sometimes. Sometimes we got an ambition to go this way and God puts it that way. Dying to self includes dying to our own desires and accepting God's will in that. And the simple question to ask yourself is, whose glory do you want? yours are God's. I hear a lot of I in the ministry sometimes. Well, you know, I get to play my music. I get to sing my song. I get to do my ministry. You know, if I had a ministry like, I like how Harold, it doesn't say Harold Vaughn's Prayer Advance. It says Christ Life Ministry. And I know some people tag their names on them, and you kind of know, you know, if you get a dog, you know what kind of dog you're going to get, right? And I get that. But I just think, I wouldn't do it that way. I just would rather have it named something else, you know, and I'd have to attach my name to it somewhere. Because like Christ Life Ministry, if you just Google that up, if you don't get Harold Vaughn in there, there's a ton of them in the United States. You know, you find out what it is. But a lot of times there's a lot of I that goes along with that. And so sometimes, you know, it's who do you want to get to glory? If it's God, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. And God says no to one thing. So the question is, when God says no to one thing, do you give up? Or do you do your best at whatever God has given you to do? I know sometimes we get these ambitions that are so far out, and we never take care of the little things. We're not faithful in the small things that God has given to us, and He's certainly not going to give us anything greater if we don't attend to what He's already given to us. There's a parable in the Bible about that. The talents, man. If you don't take care of the talents you got, why would God give you any more talents than He won't, according to the Bible? And so, you know, well, like I said, we can be thankful that we're privileged to share in His work. Apostle Paul said this. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, it's God. Sometimes that's all we do. I just feel like, you know, man, I'm just throwing seeds out, you know. Maybe sometimes I'm watering them seeds. If anything's going to grow, God's going to farm. Every farmer that knows what he's doing, he'll tell you this right off the bat. He said, I'll just put the seeds in the ground, and I might even water them. He said, but God's going to make it grow. If God don't want it to grow, it don't grow, huh? Right? So, some never do anything to build the spiritual temple. In fact, they do more to pull it apart than they do to build it up. So we're taking stock. We take stock, look back. Some people hide the talents that they do have. I just spoke about a second ago. Afraid that God might want to use what they have. And if He does, they're going to have to come out of that comfort zone, huh? All of a sudden, you heard an elf on a shelf? How about self on a shelf, huh? You can go ahead and attribute that to me if you're writing it down. Self on a shelf. I might get a message together on that, huh? Self on a shelf, and we don't want to do that. You know, a lot of times we don't want to do that because it's going to encroach upon our time. It might cost us something monetarily, or it might cost us just time. It might cost us something of our own life that or even effort sometime. Some of self would have to die. We don't want to do that. What are you going to do for the Lord and His church today? What are you going to do? David said in 1 Chronicles 22:14, he said, in my trouble, and I didn't read there. If you can look at it though, or you just take my word for it. I wrote it down right here. David said in 1 Chronicles 22:14, he said, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord. This is when he was gathering all the stuff together, when he was gathering up the material. In my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Okay? See what happened in his trouble. You know what everybody wants to do nowadays? This is what Christians want to do. Well, you know, preacher, I got so much stuff going on in my life, but boy, when I get all that straightened out, said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to join the choir. I'm going to teach a class. I'm going to work in there. Whatever it is. You know, whatever it is. Boy, when I get all these, I got all this going on right now, preacher. But boy, I'm going to serve God. But boy, I got all these problems in my life. Man, I got the kids, man, my husband, my wife. I got all these problems, my job, all that. But you know, when I get past all that, you know, I'm going to serve God. David said, in my trouble, I gathered all this. In my trouble, I prepared for the house of the Lord. Listen, let me tell you what. If you wait till there's not no trouble in your life, number one, when is that? Fill me in on that deal. You know, I'll have a self on a shelf, and you can write the book on how to have a life that doesn't have no trouble in it. You know, we hadn't figured that out, right? So we'll never do it. We'll never do it. It'll never happen. David said during his trouble, he prepared for the temple. He was doing this in the midst of it. And if we're going to do anything for God, I guess news for you, you're going to have to do it in the midst of your trouble. It's just the way it is. Don't let trouble stop you from serving God. Because I'll tell you what, Satan can cause you. If that's all it takes, you'll never be able to serve God. If trouble stops you from serving God, you'll never be able to serve God. It never happened. David's blessing for the acceptance of God's will. See in verse 28, in chapter 28, 19, he said, "And this said David, the Lord hath made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern." You know what was the blessing? God told David, said, "Listen, you're not going to build the temple, but I'm going to tell you what." This is basically what God was doing. He said, "I'm going to share my heart with you on what I want done." And the reason I read all that, it kept saying, "By weight, by weight, by weight." This is how detailed God was. "I want this much gold in these candlesticks. I want this much silver in that table. I want this much gold and the type of gold." Some of it was refined gold, it said. "I want that gold at the altar." I mean, God laid everything. "I want, this is the order of the servants, the priests, the Levites." He laid it on. He didn't lay this on Solomon. He laid it on David. David didn't get to build it, but God shared his heart with David, written upon him, it said. And that's why I read all that to you. David knew he knew exactly in his mind what it was going to look like. Exactly in his mind how long, how wide, how tall, how much weight, how much material was going to go into every little piece down to the forks, flesh hooks, whatever they had that they were going to use. The whole pattern, the mind of God wrote upon David, written upon his heart. A personal revelation from God. What would be greater? Oh, I got to build the temple? Or I had a personal experience with God? I mean, that's nothing on top of that. Huh? That's it. I mean, that was it. I mean, and David, so David had this on top of it. So he sees this blessing, this, that he was receiving, dedicated to the will of God. He understood the mind of God. And God has given us the written word of God today, every detail on how to live our life. We're looking back over our life from the time we got saved. We've got every detail of our life written down right here before us by God Himself on how to live our life. It's written out right there. And then He writes His word upon our hearts as well. The third thing we see is David's depth with God. Over in in chapter 29, the last two verses of 29, and since we're looking at David's taking stock of his life, it says in verse 29, "Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." That's the one to focus on, that statement there. "And the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." The depth, David's depth with God. David was a shepherd, a soldier, an outlaw, a king, a fugitive, a sinner, a saint, a poet, a musician, and probably several other things that you could add into that. And all those experiences were the writing of God upon his life. So we look at it, we take stock of our life, and we look back from the time we were saved till to this day or this minute. All of our experiences are the writing of God upon our life to this point. Man, I can look back and think back. Man, the old revival meetings we've been in, old-timey ones, when my salvation was new and I was younger. And man, we'd have a revival all week long and a big dinner on Friday night, man. And Man, I mean, you know, those things and the things you go through in life, in and out and up and down, and kids and grandkids and all those things, man. God writing upon your life and your experiences with God, what you know, what you didn't know then. I wish I knew when I started pastoring the church, I wish I knew then what I know now. It'd have been a lot better for you. It'd have been a lot better for you than me as well. They were God's times, and they were David's time. And it wasn't always easy times, but it was what the Lord desired for him to do. And he knew that the Lord was on the throne no matter what happened in his life, all along the way, that, you know, he was trusting. And really, David never had much of a problem trusting God as far as that goes. But, you know, he had a little episode there, but most of the time he didn't have trouble with that. And we need to understanding of God's times in our lives, times of sorrows, times of temptations, times of pressure, disappointment, loneliness, misunderstanding, persecution, joy, blessing, victory, all those things in our life from the time, if we look back, just from the time that we've known the Lord, it's been the writing of God on our life, those things. God certainly allowed them, if not caused them. Huh? Because he was doing something. He was doing something with the clay, you know, for a reason and you know, for a purpose. And sometimes it's the furnace getting it out of our life. And sometimes it's the pressure in the sense of a diamond, you know, pressurizing the coal to turn it into a diamond. You know, it's just different things. And so what sort of times are you going through right this minute? What sort of times are you going through? It's God's time in your life. I say it generally all the time, you know, that we could have been born in any era of history, but we're now. Our time. It's our time. I believe we'll be here when the Lord comes back. I mean, most of us. I don't think it's going to be way off down the road. It might be. A lot of preachers thought that along the way. The signs of the times are really indicating, huh? And I, you know, somebody said, man, I hope he gets here before I die. Ain't going to be matter in the presence of the Lord either way, huh? Just like that. I mean, this is our time. You know, what we always like to do in life, I saw something about this somewhere else, and I can't remember where I saw it, but I had this written down already. When we go through rough times in our life, you know what we want? We like that verse, this too shall pass. And we want it to hurry up. And I just can't wait. I saw something the other day. Maybe it was on Facebook, one of them little sayings or something. But sometimes people are like, boy, I can't wait till the kids get bigger. I can't wait till the kids are grown. I can't wait till I got grandkids. Maybe somebody said, I can't remember where I heard it. I can't wait till I have grandkids. I can't wait till I retire. Huh? You keep saying, you keep rushing through every little detail of your life like that. I just can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. Huh? We do that, don't we? Huh? Next thing you know, life's gone. Huh? Just enjoy it right now. Right now, man. We're living it right now. And the rough times, sometimes we think, boy, I wish the rough times would pass. Well, it's hard not to hope that. I was in the dentist chair the other day. I said, man, I sure hope this don't take long. I bet I went 4 minutes. 4 minutes he had the tooth. Yippee! Sherry was out there. Some lady was sitting in the foyer, and Sherry was out there standing there waiting, and the doctor had gone out there, and I didn't know it. And the doctor was standing out there and asking, and Sherry said, well, did he cry too much? I come out the door, and I was going, yippee! It's over. And this other lady was sitting there grinning, and she didn't know me from the man in the moon, man. I was at the doctor was over there laughing, man. I said, woo, I'm excited, huh? I was hoping it would pass. I was just going to sit here and enjoy it, doc. And I'm just going to sit here and enjoy you prying around in there on a tooth, man, trying to get it out. But that's how we do with rough times in our life. If I could only get through this. I just can't wait till next week. I just can't wait till next month. I can't wait for this. It keeps going. But listen, God's right here in whatever we're going through right now, right? What's God saying to you? What's he teaching us? What's he teach us? We see the last thing, David's benediction in 28 chapter 20, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And David said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." David said, "Know the God of thy father." In other words, what he's saying is, I want you to know my God. And let me say something to you for the parents, grandparents. David didn't say, "I want you to know the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." He said, "I want you to know my God." And that's, you know, when we think about leaving our family something or leaving our children something, what, you know, what's the greatest thing that we could leave them? What are you going to leave your children when your time comes? You know, verse 8, it said this. He said, talking about the land, and possess the land, the good land, leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. You know, that and David's telling them in verse 9 that he may know God. And the greatest thing we could leave our kids is that they may know, and we can say this honestly, my God. You know, my God. There's no greater thing than we could leave our children or desire for your children to have than, but here's the thing, see, they got to see it. I mean, God's got to be real in your life. You can't leave something to somebody if you don't have it. Amen. The legacy that we leave, if I don't have anything else, and I just leave my kids and my grandkids the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word, and that they're saved or they can be saved, that'd be the greatest thing I could ever leave. And that they could hopefully look at my life and see that. And of all the things, you think about all the things that David left Solomon, all the things for the temple, all that, this was still the greatest thing. David went on to tell Solomon all about those intricate details after that. I spoke about a few minutes ago, and he said, "Listen, the gold for the candlesticks and the gold for the altar and all this." And he told him about the porch of the temple. He talked about the porch of the temple. That's the entrance. Man, listen, there's nothing greater that you could leave your family than you can tell your children about the way, the entrance way to God, Jesus Christ. We can tell our kids about that. How about this? So the entrance into the presence of God, about the altar. We can tell our kids about the altar, the place of sacrifice. But you can't tell your kids about the place of sacrifice if you've never been to the place of sacrifice. Huh? You've got to know what it is. You've got to know what sacrifice is. You've got to know, you know, that crucified life, that crucified self. You can't explain that to your children if you don't know it, if you haven't experienced it. David had it in his mind, all the details about the altar, but he also had that relationship. You can't tell your children about forgiveness if you don't have it. You can't leave that to your children if you don't have it. You've got all these things with Christ. We have to experience it. We have to live it. It has to be a reality in our life. We'll never be able to leave it to our children if it's only word and not deed. They see it. They see that. What are you leaving your children? Huh? What are you leaving for your children? The upper room. He told them about that. The upper rooms of the temple. And that's the place of intimate communion with the Lord. Do you know what that is? You can't tell your children about it if you don't know that. They need to know that. This is a thing that you leave behind, intimate communion with the Lord. You have to see it. You have to feel it to leave it. What do you have to pass on? As you take stock of your life, what do you have to pass on to your children that's of value or worth? Take stock of your life. What are you building? Huh? Maybe it's time we got to tweak those plans just a little bit. Maybe it's time we need to make some adjustments. We still have time for that. We still have time for that. Right here, because we're right now, we can say, listen, I've got to back up. Sometimes when you're building something, you get started, you got to tear something back down. You got to take something back down and start back up, get back up. It's not going the right way. Might have to be a case in our life. Take stock of your life. Look back, see where you're at. What do you have right here? What's going to matter? What's going to matter when the Lord comes back or our life ends? What are we leaving our children? What are we leaving for an inheritance to our children? Let's all stand.